Morning. Buenos días. Well, here we are in another round of sermons. Are you ready? Well, if you survived so far since 2023, you are tough. Okay. So let's go. So we are going to be having a conversation, learning together about giving, giving with joy, not only transactional giving, but giving with passion. So my hope is as we practice all these principles that we can grow together. So let's please stand up and learn. This is our financial or stewardship campaign that we do every year. But I will try and I keep trying to preach on giving regardless of the time of the year. But here we are. Let's read together the prayer. 1, 2, 3. Moses, and they send this word. Come, Holy Spirit, give us your grace, your presence, so like the people of Israel, we can see your glory, and then give with generosity and passion. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Again, if you know this story, this is a very powerful story. God ordered Moses to build a tabernacle, and he gave him all the blueprint and how to build it from A to Z. Now, he gave him the blueprint. He gave him the vision for the tabernacle. He gave him no money. So God has this idea that every time he calls us to do something, he not only gives us the vision and the blueprint and the plans, but most importantly, he will enable us to do what he's calling us to do. So the big challenge that we have as a church is to continue spending time with God and, like Moses, spend time with him in his presence, so we can see his glory. And then once you have an experience with God, it's so easy to not only serve God, but also to give to God. So the Israelites, they have all this powerful experience with God. They saw God opening the Red Sea. They saw God freeing them and delivering them from Egypt, from Pharaoh. And all that powerful miracles and wonders, it was powerful. So when Moses called them to give and bring offerings for the tabernacle, it was so easy to give. And not only that, if you read the Bible at the end of the book of Exodus, do you know where these funds came from? The Egyptians gave them the gold and everything they have. After the 10 plagues, they were so terrified that when they said, it's time to leave, the Egyptians start giving them the funds. And they got all this gold, they got all this powerful resource coming from Egypt given to them. And then when the time came and Moses called the people to give to build the tabernacle, they all did. They all came and gave with generosity and passion. Now, he was building a tabernacle, not a temple. David is the one building a temple years and years later. But God is a God of tabernacle, not temples. Temples was the idea of David, not God. The tabernacle was God's idea. Hello. Okay? So when you start thinking about that, David was the one who said, I want to build you a house. And God argued with him, you cannot build the house. You are a warrior. You cannot, you have been spilling blood on earth. You cannot build. Okay, your son will do that. And all this argument about building, because I'm telling you, God is not so fun with buildings as he is with tabernacles. God is a God of tabernacles. Why? Because the tabernacle reflects his glory better than a temple. Because if the tabernacle was always moving, there were pilgrims. So therefore, God is saying, my presence is among you, and because of that, I am the God of the tabernacle. And now Jesus came back and then restored the tabernacle, and now he says, let's go outside of the temple to bring God's glory. Let's not stay inside of the temple, because I am the God of tabernacle. So here we are having this powerful experience where Moses got this report from his leadership, and they came back and saying, no man nor woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. In other words, we have enough. Imagine that happens here at St. John. Wow. Stephen comes back running and say, hey, Yosemite, you know what? Tell David, no more. It's enough. No, don't go back. Wow. That's powerful. So they had an experience, and my hope is that with the principles we're learning today, we start little by little growing to the point where our faith and our commitment to God is at that level or even more. Therefore, that's why I believe in the 21st century, we have a lot of what I call pressure giving, right? People are pressured into giving. We come and talk about prosperity, and we pressure people, you have to give. Or sometimes we even guilt people into giving and all of that. Why? Because we don't have the Spirit moving. The moment the Spirit's moving, you don't have to say anything. Hello? If he's the one steering the hearts of our hearts, then giving is just spontaneous. And not only spontaneous is also generous. So my hope is that we go and answer these questions as we go through this sermon series. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to steer your heart to give and then obey? Have you ever experienced overflow in your giving? Is your generosity reactive or spirit-led? So my hope is that we learn that God is a God who is a giver. The Bible says that God gave his son. And the moment we do, we are mirroring, we are honoring God, and we are living out his DNA. So now that we are saying we're going to give, let's do that with intentionality. In other words, we should not be reactive and just give whatever comes to mind. Everything you give to God should be intentional and after prayer. In other words, when you come on Sunday to give, you should not go like, oh, it's the offering time. Right? If you do that, you are missing one of the biggest opportunity that you have to actually honor God and say to God, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. I am not. You are the one who is blessing my household. Everything I have, everything I am, is because of you. And the moment you do that intentionally, now you're not only giving, now you're aligning your heart with the giving and the offering that we have. So my hope is that as you grow, as we grow into these campaigns and stuff, beyond campaigns and beyond everything, even in the small things like offerings and tithing and giving, you do that intentionally and you pray about it. You pray for your offerings and for your tithing and for everything you give to the church in a way that reflects God's, who God is. So the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work of the Lord. The people are giving more than enough. And then it says it's done. No more free will. They were giving out of their hearts. They were giving with passion. And my hope is that we do the same thing during this campaign and beyond into 2026 and even beyond that. So here's the question. What was the revelation behind the people of Israel giving? Why Moses didn't have to say anything? He just said, hey, it's time to give. Come on, let's give. And everybody was giving with passion. So let's talk about the principles behind this type of giving, which is led by the Spirit. So the first principle is spiritual vision versus spiritual blindness. What does that mean? It means that once you have a vision, the vision that you have of God and the work of God, or a vision for a business, whatever it is so easy to give when you have a vision. In other words, if the eyes of your spirit are open, now you can see what God wants to do. Now you can see what God is doing. And it's so easy to give when you know what God is calling you to do. Now, the contrary of that is spiritual blindness. And the spiritual blindness comes from our lack in our capacity to see God for who he is. Why? Because we are earthly bound creatures. In other words, for us it's easy to see with our natural eyes than to see with our spiritual eyes. So everything we do, we are led by our natural self. Therefore, all the things that really concern our hearts are natural. Therefore, we can see the natural easier. Now, for us to see the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, it has to be intentional. You have to spend time with God. You have to be in the secret place. You have to read the scriptures. You have to spend time with God. You need to spend time with other people who are doing the same thing. And now your spirit is awakened. Now you can see. And the moment you can see, now you are ready to do things, not only to give, but you break away from this blindness. This is what Jesus taught us. He said that if a blind man leads another blind person, what will happen? The two blind persons will do what? Fall into the pit. So someone has to see, right? And the seeing is, in other words, you see this pattern from Genesis to Revelation of God opening people's hearts so we can see, opening people's eyes so we can see, opening the eyes of our hearts so we can see. So we need the Holy Spirit to move here at St. John so we all can see the same thing. Because as long as you are seeing, but then you are not seeing anything, we're not going to have unity. Hello? So we want everyone to see the same thing. And the only way that can happen is if we allow the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, come and open the eyes of the church. Open my eyes so I can see. Here is what happens when you are blind. He says, are we walking like blind people in a field of treasures? It means that you can have so much that God already gave you, but because you are spiritually blind, because I cannot see, I'm not spending time with God, even though I have all these resources, I cannot have access to it because I'm blind. So I can be praying and asking God, God, I need a microphone. God, I need a speaker to amplify my voice. Here I am, I'm praying, God, give me. Father, can you please help me? I need to amplify my voice. Can you give me a microphone? Can you give me a speaker? And God is saying to you, open your eyes. It's right there, okay? So it's like you are in a room full of wonderful furniture, and you are praying for furniture when the only thing you need to do is turn the light on. In the moment God does that, now we have access. Now we can see what God has provided for us. And now we are moving in a powerful way. So the principle here is that God already created the earth. He created everything. He's the creator of everything. So everything we need has been already provided. That's 1 Peter 3 says, everything we need has been already provided for us. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. I mean, to practice and worship and serve God. Everything has been already provided. In other words, now that the earth has been created, everything we need is right here, down here. There's nothing in heaven for you. Everything that we need has already been given. That's what the Bible says. Everything has been given. And I am from Cuba, but that's past tense. Given. Given. Okay? So it's not that God is going to give you anything. Has been already given. So in other words, now God is saying to us, God readily creates something new. He opens our eyes to see what is already there. In other words, we need to ask God, we need to keep praying, God, open our eyes, because everything has been provided. So now I'm in this tension between what I want, what I need, and what God already provided. Everything has been given to me. Even when you read the book of Genesis at the beginning, God created everything, but when he gets to the earth, instead of saying, let it be earth and come and create the earth, the Bible says that God says, let the earth be discovered, uncovered. And the earth was there. Remove the waters, the earth was there, right? So when you see what God wants to do, my hope is that God can open our eyes the same way he has done before with every single of his servants. Now, you're going to see this spiritual vision pattern from Genesis to Revelation. You remember the story of Hagar? Hagar was this woman that had this child, Ishmael, because then you have Sarah, she wanted to get pregnant, and then God was delaying, and she said, let me fix this, and says, hey, Abraham, come and sleep with my servant Hagar, and now we're going to have children, so raise family for me. And God, and Abraham said, yes, yes, you know, he was smart. Yes, Sarah, follow. And then after she had this baby, Ishmael, she started having problems and issues to the point that Hagar said, I'm going to flee, I'm going to leave, I'm going to go away. And when she went away, the Bible said that she was dying of thirst. She was so thirsty, dying. And then God opened her eyes to see a well with water. The Bible says that once she saw that, she drank the water, and then she recovered. So the miracle was not that God created a well with water. The miracle was that God opened her eyes to see. So my hope is that we, wherever we are looking and wherever we are after this year and next year, that God opened our eyes to see. You have this powerful passage, Elisha. So Elisha was a prophet. I don't know how many of you know this passage, but in 1 Kings 6, he is prophesying and prophesying. And this king from the Philistine, they were planning to attack Israel. And Elisha had a great communion with God. So everything that this evil king was planning to do, God was revealing to Elisha. So Elisha was saying that to the king of Israel, every plan that they were doing and planning in secret, Elisha was prophesying and revealing everything that the evil king wanted to do. And the king got tired of it and said, how do they know our plans? And a general in the army said, there is a prophet, his name is Elisha, and he's the one revealing everything you say in your chambers. The king got angry, and he said, I'm going to find him and I'm going to kill him. This needs to stop. So he packed his whole army, went and said, let me find Elisha. And then he surrendered Elisha's secret place. His tent was surrendered by this evil army, my friends. And then Elisha came out with his disciple. The disciple was anxious. He was terrified. He saw all this army in the hills, and he was terrifying. And Elisha was relaxed. Hello? Elisha said, powerful and loving God of Israel, can you open the eyes of this guy so he can see what is going on? And the Bible said that God opened the eyes of the servant. Go and read the Bible. And when the disciple of Elisha, when his eyes were opened, he saw the army of the living God on the hills. Oh my goodness. It was flaming fire angels. And then he said, oh my God, there are more people with us than with them. And I have fear no more. Now I know that God is here. Oh my goodness. Imagine that. So the question is, if God opened our hearts and opened the eyes of our hearts and opened our eyes to see, the question is, what are you seeing? He used to ask that question to every single prophet and servant. What are you seeing, Diana? What are you seeing, Linda? What are you seeing, Scott? What are you seeing, Stu? What are you seeing? Oh, all I'm seeing is my pain, my darling, and my din, God said, you know what? You need to get up. You need to start seeing what I'm seeing. That's why he's asking the question. He wants to shift your sight to see what he wants to do among us. So how many people are you seeing here today? Are you like the disciple of Elisha, counting people and say, oh, where is everybody? Where is everybody? Where is everybody? Where is everybody? So we can either do that or believe God, that God is going to move his army. And people will come from north, east, west, and south. You believe that? He can do that. He's so powerful. And then you have a powerful story. This story is, this is powerful. Elijah, the other guy, who is the mentor of Elisha, okay? Now he has a disciple also. And then there was a drought in Israel. And the king, Ahab, the king, is calling Elijah, you need to start praying because of you. You pray, and now there is no rain. Now you need to pray 3 years. 3 years have passed by. Now you need to pray so the rain comes back. So Elijah said, okay, Elijah. This Elijah said, I'm going to pray. And Elijah goes like this. And he starts praying. And he says, go, tell the king, eat, drink. There is a heavy rain coming. And the disciple, 3 years without rain, the disciple is looking everywhere and saying, what are you talking about? There's no a single cloud. There is no a single cloud. And you're saying that there's a heavy rain coming? And then he was praying and said, go and see. And the disciple goes, there is nothing. There is nothing. He kept praying. Go and see. Seven times. When at the seventh time, he saw and he said, oh, wait a minute. There is a cloud, the sign of a hand of a man. There is a rain coming. And Elijah says, it's now. There is a heavy rain coming. Worship the Lord. Worship. And then, whoo, the flame of God came. A flood. Raining and raining, raining nonstop. Nonstop. I really believe that there is a heavy rain coming to St. John. Hello. I believe with all my heart. And now, what is difficult is that before the rain, you have these drops. A glory sighting here, another glory sighting there. Glory sighting. Another drop. But the drop is a sign that the rain is coming. So don't get discouraged. It's time to do what? Do what Elijah did. Pray and pray and then pray and refuse to allow the natural to rule over you. If you do that, if I do that, we're going to see God moving like never before. Yes, we have been through a drought, no rain, emotional drought, tiredness, all these things happening around us. Now the country's in flame. Everything is crazy right now. So you either allow all of that to block you, or you go to the secret place and say, no, I'm going to elevate myself in the spirit above all of this. And I'm going to believe, regardless of what I see, because I have a commandment from God. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by... You are crazy if you do that. Because that's what the world says. You have to walk by what you see. That's my hope, church, that we understand this. And you see this pattern in the New Testament. You see everywhere you go. You're going to see the same thing. Now, here it is. Our problem is not a lack of what? But it's rather the inability to access what God is already giving. It's like you are a millionaire and no one gave you the bank account number. And here you are. You don't have the bank account, you don't have the password, and here you are living, with nothing, hungry, no clothes. I mean, you are so poor, but then you are a millionaire because you're working. Who is the password? And you go to the computer, what is the password? Have you ever forgot your password? So that's the way God is with us. He's calling us, he's blessing us, he blessed us with all these powerful resources that he has given us. But here we are, we don't have the password. What is the password, Pastor? Jesus. In Jesus' name, I'm going to open everything. Now I need to spend time with God. So he shifts my sight and I can access what God already gave me. If I do that, God will bless me in a powerful way. So we move then away from this transactional giving to a heart response. When we give driven by joy, by community, by worship, when you do that, the Spirit will touch your heart, and then you have this overflow of passion to give with power and purpose. Because now you know why you are giving. And that is what God is doing in Israel, did in Israel, and now my hope is that he start doing it right now, that everyone whose heart got a steer, give with passion. So if our eyes are open, the net result will be obedience, like in 2 Corinthians 8, people were giving also in the old, in the New Testament. People are giving everywhere. And they don't give because what they have, they give out of love, gratitude, and obedience. In other words, I've been preaching like this with the same passion to people who have nothing, to people who have some, to people who have much. Why? Because my preaching is not based on how much you have. My preaching is based on the fact that you have the Holy Spirit. And we are all called to honor God with what we have and who we are. And if we are doing that, the whole kingdom of God will experience an overflow in giving. So I used to preach the same thing to a single mother. Guess what? But Pastor, she's a single mother. She have nothing. Okay. Who is your God? Jehovah God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God. Guess what? She's in the same position to give than anyone else. Hello. Because God not only asks you and commands you to give, he also enables you to give. God is calling you to sow and reap a harvest, but he also will give you the seed. He's so powerful. He will give you everything. What you have to do is position yourself and collaborate with him, and you're going to see his glory. So you see this guy, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, same thing. He was blind. He couldn't see. And he was screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you think he was the only blind guy that day? No, he was the one screaming the most, Son of David, have mercy on me, to the point that Jesus had to stop. And everybody was, shut up, man, shut up, stop, do not bother the rabbi. I don't care, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. And then Jesus said, okay, come here. What do you want? The guy is blind. But Jesus is still asking, what do you want? He wants to make sure that your heart is aligned, is in alignment with what he's about to do. In the moment he says, I want to see. Wow. The question is, do you want to see? Do you want to see? Are you as hungry as he was to say, I want to see. I want to see my family. I want to see my children. I want to see my church. I want to see my city transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see God. I want to see salvation. I want to see baptisms. I want to see people serving God selflessly, forgiving freely. I want to see that. And then you will see it before you die, because God is faithful. You want to see it? He will open your eyes to be in the right places at the right moment to see what he wants you to see. Wow. Or we allow the world to conquer us, because so much is happening that causing this spiritual blindness is caused by all of this mad, all these issues, all these challenges, family conflict that seems unsolvable, an addiction that keeps coming back despite good intentions, emotional wounds, things that are happening, pain from the past, blocking our way, blocking our capacity. Capacity to see, fear that paralyzes us, and we are paralyzed, we cannot move because we are blocked and we are freezed by what we see instead in the natural, instead of aligning ourselves with what God wants us to do. And the moment we do that, we need spiritual eye drops. Now I see. You start reading the scriptures. You have baptism. You have passion. Now you are praying. Now you are worshiping despite your circumstances. And the moment you start putting these eye drop, boom, 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 boom. Now I see the same situation. The natural situation has not changed, but I changed. Now I can see what I could not see. Now I can celebrate, and I have peace, and I'm rejoicing, even though nothing has changed. And the people around me who are spiritually blind, they will say, you are crazy. Why are you dancing? What do you have peace? Do you know what is happening? Do you see your children? Do you see your business? Are you seeing your church? I don't care. Now God has spoken to me that I was blind, and now I see, I had an experience with God, and no one can take that from me. I know God is going about to do something. And even if you die waiting, it's better to die waiting, excited about seeing something, than being depressed. You are already dead. Well, this raises the question, what if the issue is not the lack of solution? So I was praying, God, how can we go into this? God, how are we going to help St. John to turn around? How can we do this? What? And the Holy Spirit is asking this question. Hey, Josmar, what is the issue? It's not a lack of a solution, but our inability to see what is already there. It's stop crying for whoever left and work with the people who are there. Wow. Wow. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. The people who are there. God already, what God already gave us. This victory, that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. If you are a believer, you believe in Christ, you need to know that the victory already happened. Jesus already won this victory. Therefore, in the Christian faith, victory is what? So, victory is achieve or receive. So, if you are a believer, if you are part of the Christian faith, if you are a disciple of Jesus, for you, victory is what? Receive. If you belong to a tradition where it's about work, victory is what? Achieve. So people are always trying to do this and do that, do this and do that, do this and do that. All the religions in the world is do this and do that, do this and you'll be better, do this and you qualify. And Jesus is saying, it is finished. But I need to do this to do better. It is finished. I'm waiting, God, to change my mind, the way I think, the way I do, and this and that, so I can do better. It is finished. So in the kingdom of God, it's received by faith. You have to appropriate the work of Christ on the cross. And the moment you do that, your victory is already won. Boom, it's yours. Access to it. It's already by faith given to you. You only have to receive it. There's nothing you can do. It's about receiving. And the moment we do that, God will manifest in a very powerful way to shake the world around you. Now, in other words, this is an issue of perception or provision. In other words, I'm saying, and I believe it with all my heart, we don't have a provision problem, we have a perception problem. The moment we start seeing what God is doing and he's about to do, the moment we start following Christ the way he is expecting us with the Spirit, provision will be here. Be quiet. God's vision never lack resources. And now we say, okay, we know that everything, we are positioned in Christ, everything has been given to us. Now we need to experience it. In other words, God says, hey, now you are in Christ. Everything has been given to you. Now you are already resurrected. You are already crucified. Now you are with Christ. Everything has been given to you. I created everything for you. So positionally, in Christ, in aligning with the throne of God, we have everything. Now, what is the chief, Pastor? Now we need to experience it. In other words, now we need to ask. We need to ask God, open my eyes so I can see all this and begin to act on it and believe it. Because here you are, you can be, yeah, I mean, the Bible says already that we are king and we are queens, but here we are living our life as we are not kings and queens for God. So if we are, then we know that God is with us, so we are going to walk in that revelation and start acting like we know that God already provided everything for us. So we are going to ask God, open my eyes, give me the revelation so all these powerful promises that you have are not a distant possibility anymore. I'm seeing it as a present reality. So if God is saying to me, you are healed, I believe it. If God says to me, you are free, I believe it. If God says to me, I'm going to give you strength and you believe in me and I'm going to strengthen you, I believe it. And the moment you start believing these promises, not as a distant possibility, but as a present reality, the heavens are open, and now we're going to see God moving like never before. Are you ready for that? Because that's what gets me excited, guys. My passion is that, because I know, and I said that before, people are waiting. Oh, the Bible says that you're already dead, and you are waiting for your funeral. Your funeral already happened. So today, I learned something. Here's what I learned today. Do you know that you can send with the same cost of a natural, of a traditional funeral, with the same money, you can send your ashes to the moon? You cannot make this up. They have this company, and you can, they make video, and they go with your video and your ashes until they go to the moon, and there you go.
How many of you want to go to the moon?
You know what I'm saying? It's like people, this is it. You know, but the reality is that people get creative with all the stuff, but we are believers. We are already dead in Christ. We know that. Do you know that? So we know that. So after we understand that God's already, we're already moving, and earth is trying to catch up with what heaven already said, let me, God, open my eyes. That's why the Apostle Paul, he was praying for the church in Ephesians 1. He's saying, I don't want you to receive new things. I want God to open your eyes for you to see the power, the inheritance that you have in Christ, that you know Christ better, that you know the power that raised Christ from the dead. I'm not asking God for new things for you. I'm asking God to open your eyes. And that's my prayer for St. John in 2026. God, open our eyes to see. He's not creating new things. He's opening our eyes to see. That the same thing happened when Christ was walking with these guys after the resurrection in the Emmaus walk. He was talking to them. They didn't understand anything, and he opened the scriptures to them. That's what the Bible says. He opened the scriptures to them. He didn't give them new scriptures. He opened the scriptures. And when they saw, now they saw Christ. Christ resurrected. Wow. So imagine you're reading your Bible. Hello? Hello? Or asking the Holy Spirit to come and open the scripture for you. You know what is going to happen? You go from, and the Bible on your chest, to you, oh my God, no, let me take notes. Wow, oh my God, what God is saying, hallelujah. All of that happens when the Spirit comes and open the scriptures to you. So my hoping is that God open our hearts, that God open our mind, so we can experience God like never before. Please stand up. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Are you excited, church? I'm super excited with this. Put your hands together, worship the Lord, and let's pray together. Gracious God, steer our hearts like you steer the hearts of your people in the wilderness. Let your Spirit awaken something in us, not just to give, but to give joyfully, freely, and sacrificially. May our generosity flow out of worship, not duty, out of vision, not guilt. Let our community reflect the beauty of unity in giving. And may our gift, however small or large, to your glory and the building of your kingdom. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.